There are new doorways opening for my people, says God. New ways to do old things. For the direction, the mission has not changed. But yet this is a new day. And there will be those who will try to do the old things, the old ways, and they will find that they will not work as successfully. But if you will follow my spirit, I will show you new ways to go into new areas, and the reward will be great. For the fisherman, Peter, went out on the water, and he cast his net over all night and never caught anything. While he's cleaning his net, my son came and said, push out into the deep. He said, Lord, it won't work, but at your word, we'll go. And he went out when it was not the time to fish, when the world said it is over, and he cast his net and had to call the other boats out to carry in the fish. This is that day, says the Lord, when the world is saying, no, 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 it's over. Many in the church will say, no, it's over. Our glory has been spent. But I say, I am pouring out my glory in all the earth, on all flesh, and my sons and my daughters, they shall prophesy, and they will show signs and wonders in the heavens. For my greatest day is yet to come, declares God. And as my great day dawns, so will the day of the church dawn, and a new brightness will cover the land, and it will go out from sea to sea and across the seas into every continent, into every nation on this earth. For my glory is being poured out yet today, saith God. Don't look at yourselves and say it's over. Don't look at yourselves and say I'm too old. Don't look at yourselves and say it's not my time. I declare it is your time, says God. I declare this is the time of new beginnings. It is the day of the turnaround. It is the day of the outpouring. It is the day of my glory, says God. For I am still revealing myself among those who believe in me, and I will show great things in the earth.
Praise God. Are you ready for the word this morning? Let's start out with our favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. That has been a verse for us for, this is going on the third year, isn't it? I think the third year of quoting that verse every week, we have seen literal miracles come out of this verse. I mean, miraculous healings come out of this verse because people are holding on to it. We've got one sitting back here. What God has brought her through, it's like, and she told me when she was in the hospital, she's quoting that verse. Thanks be to God, he always leads me in triumph, always leads me. And she got some bad reports, but God led her in triumph, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah, he'll do it for you. You just got to believe the word, amen? Yeah. You know, God spoke to me last October, and I'm just still putting some things together, but he said, this is the year of the turnaround. And I'll just throw out a hint to you, but I didn't know it. I knew that last year was the Shemitah year, but there's many people are believing this is the Jubilee year. It's possible it could be the Jubilee year. It falls in a 50-year cycle. And so we're starting to hear things and people come out and talk about it. And when I said this last year, it was right as we were entering into this Jubilee year. Is it September that it changes? Or in our September? And it's like, it's the year of the turnaround. Glory to God. That means whatever situation you're in, God has ordained for it to turn around. To not just continue as is, but to turn around. And one of the questions, one of the things that God dealt with me this year, he says, we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to the beginnings of what caused us to be born again, what caused us to be new creatures in Christ, what has fundamentally changed our life and still continues to challenge us, and that is the Word. And so we're talking about the infused word. And I want you to go to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. This isn't even my text that I'm basing all this on, but it's the text that we're using to introduce it. We all should know this if you've been in church very long at all. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, we spent a lot of time on this last week, but I just want to say this. John is stressing the importance of the Word of God. All through the Gospel of John, it's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word. Jesus is that Word. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word is God. And Jesus is that Word made flesh and dwelling among us, that we could behold His grace and His strength. Grace and truth, amen. That we could see Him. I love Peter when I read Peter. He says, we handled Him. Don't talk to us about whether Jesus is fake or not, or whether He's real. We handled Him. We touched Him. We walked, we ate with Him. We slept in the same room with Him. Don't too late to come now and tell me Jesus is just a figment of your imagination. It's too late. I'm born again. It's too late. I've been healed. It's too late. You know, when people come and say, well, healing has passed away. Don't you know when the apostles died, healing passed away? I don't know that. I didn't get the message because I got healed several years ago. Amen. God's delivered me. She got healed of an ear problem here several months ago. You've been healed. Nancy's been healed. She's going to be back with us soon. She's been healed. People are coming out of things. Why? Because we believe in healing today. Now, if you don't want healing today, that's your privilege. I'm just saying God's provided it for you. So don't get upset if I get healed and you don't. Amen? Because the Word works. Amen? Listen, here's one of a good verse. He sent His Word and healed them. Is God's Word still in the earth today? Is God still preaching the Word today? Is the Word gone forth today? Then His Word has come to heal you. Woo! Someone missed an opportunity to shout right there. I tell you, this is good stuff. But John is stressing the importance of the Word because we have taken the Word for granted. Even we. We've just taken it to be routine. Oh, yeah, that's the Word. Oh, yeah, this is okay. No, the Word is more than what's written on paper. It's more than just a doctrine or something to believe in. The Word was in the beginning with God and was with God and is God. And that Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And every time someone accepts Jesus into their heart, that Word becomes flesh all over again. In Romans chapter 8, it says, the Holy Spirit quickens our mortal flesh or makes alive our mortal flesh. That Word is still as powerful as when it was encapsulated in flesh in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. See that this Word is the expression of God. It is His essence. It is His person. It isn't just something He said. Now, today, so often, we speak things we have no intention of following through. You know, I'll see you in church Sunday, brother. Yeah, right. Well, whatever. You know, checks in the mail. Yeah, I hear you. Well, this one won't bounce. It's not made out of rubber. Yeah, I hear you. You know, we say things because it's convenient. God doesn't say things that are convenient. He says things to create. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And guess what? Light was. He spoke and things created. Do you think the Word has any less power today than when we speak? That same power of God in that Word comes to pass. I heard it this morning. I'm chewing on this. But I heard a preacher say it this morning on TV before we came to church. And he said, the God kind of faith is when you believe what you say will come to pass. Because when God speaks, He believes what He says is going to happen. That's why sometimes when you ask God questions and beg from Him, He doesn't say anything. Because what He says will come to pass. And if you're begging and whining and you want God to just say, oh, you poor little thing, I don't know what to do for you. He can't say that. He's God. He's got a plan for your life. He cannot get in agreement with you in your pity party. Because if he does, you'll never get out. That's why so many people, give me sympathy. God doesn't give you sympathy. He gives you the answer. He gives you life. And you have to decide to take it or not take it. But it's up to you. Before this day, I said, before you, life and death. Therefore, choose life that you may live. Clue. This is more than just a word. Now, we said last week, and this is so curious to me. In John chapter 1 here, it's talking about the logos word. That's Greek for word. It means logos word. And the logos word means written word or spoken word. But I also found out in Thayer's Bible Dictionary, it has another definition to it. It is an idea that's expressed. So God's logos word, his written word that we have in the Bible when you read it, is an idea that God is expressing to you. See, it's just an idea. It's like we used the example last week of Albert Einstein, E equals MC squared. Okay, what does that mean? I don't have a clue. I mean, I had a course in college, and they talked about E equals MC squared, and I was the one dumb guy in the room, and I raised my hand and says, can you explain what this is? Because I'm not getting it. And the guy looked at me and said, well, there's only probably five or six people in the world that even begin to understand this. And I'm thinking, and you're trying to teach us? Because I figured he's not one of them. You know, I just by the way he's talking, he's not one that really understands this thing. But see, E equals MC squared is an idea. Now, when you get to understand the idea, when you can comprehend it and grasp it, you've got rhema, which is another different word in Greek for word. But rhema is the revealed word of God. My pastor that led me to the Lord, led me to believe in my own salvation and to trust God for my salvation. He said, most people miss heaven by 12 inches. 12 inches? He said, that's a distance from the head to the heart. See, we believe in our head, but our heart isn't convinced. Jesus said, what you speak out of what is in abundance in your heart. Unfortunately, most people speak out of what is in abundance in their head, because their heart isn't renewed to the things of God. So we're trying to speak faith, but we're speaking out of our head because you don't have rhema. You don't have a revelation of the love of God and the power of his word. You're just quoting what somebody else said. That's why you get stuff and you meditate it. You chew it over. You eat this. You eat and breathe it. You meditate. You spend time in the things that you've heard, not just jumping from one topic to another. You've got to spend time. If you're going to marinate meat, you've got to soak it at least overnight. 2 days is better. 3 days is a gourmet restaurant. I mean, you saturate it in. And most of us, as soon as we hear something, we're telling everybody about it, and you don't have a clue what you're even talking about. Because you don't have rhema on it yet. You got excited, but excited isn't rhema. I like this illustration. We'll get back to the sermon here in a little bit. But I like this illustration. Rhema is the difference in this. Some people think in order to cast out devils, you have to get loud. You have to scream. Have to flare your arms. Have to sprinkle them with holy water or oil or whatever. And so you see some of these guys, in Jesus' name, I cast you out! Ah! And all this. And it's like, can you imagine Jesus doing that? I mean, just think about it. You know, he's a gentle shepherd. You know, the Bible in Hebrews says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Not by the power of his word. And see, when you yell and scream, and you're trying to convince others, sometimes even the devil, by the power or by the word of your power. I mean, the louder I get, the more powerful it is. The bolder I get, you know. And it's like, no, it's he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, we had a German shepherd a long time ago. She was obedience trained when we got her. And when Debbie and I got her, we would look at her and just say, sit. She would sit down. Say, go to your room. She'd go to her room. We never raised our voice with her. We could just look at her and say something and she would obey. See, that's the word of your power. My dad saw us do that and he thought, I'm going to try this too. So he told the dog, sit. She looked at him. Sit. She just looked at him. I told you sit. Now go sit, 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 sit. See, he thought the louder he got, the dog would get it. But the dog was trained to hear the still small voice. All he had to do is say, sit. You can cast out devils sometimes just by whispering. You don't have to get loud. You know, we've been in situations where we cast devils out. We never raised our voice. Nobody ever knew what was going on. But the devil got defeated and the person got free. Isn't that wonderful? This is the power of God. See, when you get rhema, you don't have to be loud. Because rhema is, I know that I know that I know. It's too late to convince me otherwise. It's too late to give me a different idea on this. No, I know this already works. I don't have to do it differently because I know this works. And I know it's because of my faith in God, not how loud I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 8. We'll come back to John 3 here in a little bit. But in John 17, in verse 8, these are some really good verses. Jesus says, for I have given to them the words which you have given me. Now, the Greek for word here is rhema. I've given them the revealed knowledge which you have given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they believe that you sent me. Boy, that is an awesome thing. They believe that you sent me. They've received the words, the rhema that I gave to them. In other words, Jesus said, you can lay hands on the sick and cast out devils. And the sick will be healed and devils will be cast out. You can raise the dead. Remember the one time, it's so confusing to so many people, Jesus commissioned the 12. He said, go out and preach in the cities and villages. Don't take any money with you. God will provide for you. And while you're there, heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. And they came back and said, Jesus, it worked. We've got to have conferences. Anybody ever been to a healing conference? Yeah. Then to a preacher, we've got, this is how you do it. Hi-ya! It's like, what? This isn't kung fu. It's like, we go through all this, but we have to learn. Do you know why most churches don't evangelize? They've had evangelism classes. You heard me right. Most churches don't evangelize because they've had evangelism classes. And evangelism classes always tell you that nobody wants to hear how hard it is, how people will yell at you, spit on you, chew you up, yell at you, all this. And everybody says, I ain't doing that. To see if you present the gospel the right way. You may have a few of those, but the glory is you get to see lives transformed. Once you start seeing lives transformed, you got to share the gospel because this is too good to keep to yourself anymore. You got to share the love of Jesus. See, now that requires a rhema. But we always want to be taught. We always want to learn. How do you do this? Years ago, I went to a full gospel businessman's meeting, and I went for one reason. This guy had a miracle ministry, and I wanted to see how he did it. And his ministry was growing out legs. And I'd seen that a few times before, but this guy was proficient at it. So I wanted to see how he did it. I wanted to see his technique. And he preached, and the preaching was good. He said, okay, now we're going to heal people. Anybody with back problems, come on up. And I got as close as I could because I wanted to see his technique. And as I was going up, the Lord spoke to me and says, watch me. Watch. How do you watch God? He's invisible. But he was saying, get your eyes off the man. Get your eyes off the technique. And the guy was just so confident. He just kind of casually talked. He reached down and grabbed this guy's leg. He's going to keep your leg straight. He just talked to the rest of us. And as he's talking to us, you watch the leg just grow out. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm seeing you. I'm seeing you. There's no technique outside of faith. outside of believing if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. See, that he had rhema. All of us are looking for logos. If I get enough logos, I can do this thing too. No, you can't. Logos will never produce miracles. Rhema will. Logos will never produce a changed life. Rhema will. Hallelujah. Go. See, one of the things to understand in this verse of 17:8, what distinguished the disciples is that they received the rhema of the Logos that Jesus gave them. They received the revelation. And it's this simple. Jesus said, you can do this. And they said, okay, we can do this. See, most of the time when God tells you, you can do this, we always come up with why we can't. God says, do this. Well, Lord, I've got 17 reasons here why I can't do that. I'm not the right person. So God chose wrong, right? I'm not smart enough. I need more education on this. And God says, are you going to believe me or are you going to get education? See, he's waiting to do. Can you imagine Gideon going to military school? I'm sorry, Lord, I've got to go to West Point, and in order to do that, I've got to get a bachelor's degree, and then I probably have to go to higher education. I have to get really good grades, so I got to get a tutor and all this. No, he just obeyed God. He just did what the Lord told him to do. You know, that's what faith is. I'm just doing what the Lord said to do. When he said, forgive, I forgive. Sometimes I don't want to forgive. Sometimes I want to remember. I feel good when I remember. It makes me healthy, stronger on the inside when I remember all the abuse. No, it doesn't. It just tears me down because I'm caught up in all that remembering when God said forgive. Do you know the Bible says twice, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not your job. There's things that we're holding on to that we need to let go because God told you to let it go. Do you believe God? Let it go. Just turn loose. Well, how do you do that? Let it go. Just move on. Now, my dog bit me one time. She didn't intend to, but she bit me. I had to move on. Because if not, she bit me. She bit me. I could either live in fear or I can know that I am the dog's master. And the dog will do what I tell it to do in Jesus' name. I refuse to let an animal dominate me. We went to a friend's house years ago, and they had two great big dogs. I love big dogs. And he said, don't look at them in the eye. I'm going, what? He said, don't stare at them. Don't make eye contact with them. He said, that challenges dogs. I had a big dog. I looked at her all the time. She knew who was boss. She knew when there was playtime. You've got big dogs. She knew when there was playtime, and she knew when it's that daddy look. You know, it's just like, this. I'm being serious now. She knew the difference. So, you know, one of the dogs came up, and I just looked at it in the eyes. He said, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Dog and I got along fine. When he wasn't looking, I looked it in the eyes. We had no problems. He's, don't look at the dog. Don't look into the light. Don't look into the light. No, we're looking in the light. I'm in charge here. That dog's not going to master me. Now, why is that important? I went to one man's house, and they had told me he's had a small or medium-sized dog, and said, this dog is vicious. This dog will attack you. This dog is friends or anybody. If you get out of the car and he's not home, this dog will attack you and do damage on you. I forgot about it. I walked up and walked into a closed, enclosed porch. It was open on one side, but it was enclosed. Walked up to the door and knocked. He wasn't there, and I started to turn around. I thought, I haven't seen the dog. From what I remember, the dog's always outside. So I started looking around. Here in the corner that I had to go past to get out was this dog in its box. And it started growling. It started coming out of that box, and I'm thinking, you know, if I run, I'm nailed. So what do I let the dog just corner me? I start talking to that dog, in the name of Jesus, you get back in that box. He kept coming at me a little bit, real slow. And I told you in Jesus' name, you get back in that box and you do it now. And slowly, that dog started backing up. Backing up, sat down in the box. I walked out and got my car. The dog never moved. Do you have dominion over your circumstances? In Jesus' name, you do. Now, you can either be master or you can let them master you. But what set Jesus' disciples apart was that they received the rhema. If Jesus said, we can do it, we can do it. If Jesus said, go, we'll go, because he's already made provision for us. Amen. If God said, this is the open door, we walk through it because God said it's open. Hallelujah. Now, go down to, still in chapter 17, go down to verse 14. Jesus goes on to say, I have given them your word. Now, here the word is logos. I've given them your idea. I've given them your concept, God. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word, logos, is truth. Now, you get rhema from logos. God will give you an idea. He'll give you a word spoken or written about it. He'll give you that logos, and from that logos, that is truth, rhema comes as you meditate on it. As you receive that logos for your own life, it transforms into rhema. But receiving the rhema of God sanctifies you or separates you from the world system. God's logos word is truth. Now, this brings us to a really important question. Is there such a thing as truth? Because in our world today, well, whatever anybody wants to believe is truth. My truth is equal to your truth. Your truth is equal to my truth. There is no difference of truth. Fine, let me kill you. All of a sudden, we have the same truth. You can't do that. Why? My truth is if I shoot you with a gun, you'll live. Let's try it out. No, you're not going to shoot me. Yes, I am. Why? Because my truth says, suddenly my truth isn't relevant anymore. See, we all have our opinions, and most opinions masquerade as truth. What is truth? Jesus said, my word is truth. He said, the word will set you free. My word is truth. Now, the Bible speaks of a world system or a world age. The Bible describes this world age, this system, as the present evil age. So this present world system is not a good thing. It's an evil thing. It goes on to say, its wisdom blinds those who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine on them. The world system will blind you from the goodness and the power of God to break free of the world system. Because they're blinded. They just can't see. You talk to God about, man, it's wonderful to be in Christ. They go, what? No, Christianity is just a bunch of bondage. Christianity is just a hard thing. Christianity is mean. It's cruel. Well, it is to sin. But it's life to me. See, people, you even hear Christians talk about what it cost them to become a Christian. What did it cost you to become a Christian? Sin. Death. Because you were dying. When Christ came into your life, you got life. Zoe. You got the very same quality of life and quantity of life as God has. And we walk around, boy, I had to give up a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, I had to stop dying. I had to stop acting like a jerk. I had to stop having people talk behind my back because they wouldn't dare say those things to my face. I had to give up sin. I had to give up rebellion. I had to give up bitterness. I had to give up hate. But all those things were killing me. They were slowly eating me away. God said, give them up. Says all old things have passed away and all things have become new. So those things died. Now it took me a while to figure that out because I was trained in their habits, but eventually I got free from it, most of it. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on to say that Satan is the god of this age. I don't want Satan to be my god. as the Bible tells us, Satan seeks for whom he can destroy. Now that tells me Satan can't destroy just anyone. He has to seek for an opening to get in to destroy you. If Satan had the power that most people think he has, he could get you to do anything he wants you to do. He's not that big. He is not that big. I've seen natural, unborn-again people resist the devil and watch him flee from them because they just said, I'm not doing it. Now, my lightning-fast mind, you know how it works. I figured if a non-born-again person can resist the devil and have the devil flee from him, and I've got the power of God in me, it ought to work a lot easier for me. Amen? And you find so many Christians, I can't wait to get to heaven because there ain't going to be no devil. Or else, I love this one too, I'm going to really trump on the devil when I get to heaven. He's not going to be there. If you want to trump on the devil, do it now. Devil, get out of my life. I'm done with you. I want nothing to do with you anymore in the name of Jesus. And he looks at you. Do you mean it? Well, maybe. Are you going to do something back to me? Well, yeah, if you're doubtful. But if you just say, I mean it, you get out now. It's like that growling dog. He's got to go back to his gate of hell and sit down, and all he can do is peer out behind the gates. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. He's done for. And if we would get that rhema, if we would get that revelation, we'd stop coming up with all the excuses why we can't do anything because the world is ours. Amen. It's good preaching. Thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus describes Satan as the thief. He says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus contrasted himself in John 10 with the devil, saying, I have come that they might have life, or Zoe, and that they might have it even more abundantly. More abundantly. I mean, whatever the devil has taken from you, God can bless you more abundantly. Whatever lie the devil has gotten you to believe, God can give you more abundant thoughts, more abundant concepts, more abundant rhema to overcome every scourge, to trample down scorpions and snakes in the name of Jesus. That's who he is. That's what he does. All authority in heaven and in the earth has been given to him. The problem is we haven't received it. We haven't believed it. We haven't walked in it. Well, devil, if you say I can't do it, No. When are you going to stop getting rhema from the devil and start believing God? Devil, you're under my feet. You're one of the best things. I love this rebuke of the devil. The devil is a liar. You know that? Jesus said there is no truth in him. So when the devil shows up on your doorstep and tries to accuse you of something, you know, first of all, it's not true. Because he's a liar. And usually whatever the devil tries to tell you is the exact opposite of what God has to say about you. The devil will say, you're sick, you're going to get the flu. I say, I'm healed, no, I'm not getting the flu. This Zika virus, they don't even know what it is yet. You know, Brazil issued a warning just a couple days ago telling couples to not kiss. Because it could be transmitted by kissing. Pregnant women not to kiss. Yeah, pregnant women not to kiss. Because, you know, it's like, excuse me? I thought it was by mosquitoes. See, the world doesn't even know. But we can be protected because we can get a Zika shot of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, if any harmful thing touches me, it dies in the name of Jesus Christ. Every negative bacteria, every negative virus in Jesus, if it comes against me, it dies in the name of Jesus. Because I am life, and death cannot stand in the presence of life. I have the life of God on the inside of me. It's not me, but it's God's life in me that causes all those things to die that would seek to do me harm. Amen? This is why Jesus' primary message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To repent means to turn around, to change direction. And I just found this out from Thayer's dictionary the other day. Just a kind of a new revelation for about a year now. Repent means to think differently. We have the mind of Christ. It's time we use it. It's time we begin to think like God thinks. Is there anything too small for God? No. Is there anything too big for God? No. We need to start thinking like God. Amen. We need to expand our horizons. We need to do what Isaiah, forget what chapter it is. You know, expand your tents, lengthen your cords, and put in new stakes. We need to enlarge the tent that you see yourself in, because God can do super abundantly more than you can think, ask, or imagine. Isn't that good? This is our God. This is the one we believe in. This is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is everything in between. He is our provider, our sustainer, our healer, our advocate. He is the one who comes to our help in time of trouble. Amen? See, this is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Go to John 3. He said, you must be born again of the Spirit. In other words, you've got to change your residency. You are in the world system, but you are not of it. You've got to think differently than what the world is telling you to think, because the world will never tell you you're going to succeed. The world will always tell you you're going to fail. The world system will always tell you you can't make it. But God says, you can overcome all things. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world system, the world age, the devil. Greater is the one, Jesus, who is inside of us. John 3, go to verse 14. I can't do this quick. John 3, 14. Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is talking about his crucifixion, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, or everlasting life, or Zoe life. Now, I love the word eternal life, because it's eternal Zoe. It's two words. It's not just one. Zoe by itself is not interpreted as everlasting life. Zoe is literally the life that only God possesses. No animal, no human can have it. Only God has it. But God gives it to those who believe in him. But eternal Zoe is, Jesus is emphasizing, this life will not pass away. This life is not temporary. This life will transcend time itself, because it's just like God. Amen. It is God. In verse 15, he says, whoever believes in him. Believes in who? In the Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, that was God. The Word that was made flesh, the Word that walked around us, the Word that was crucified, the Word that was raised from the dead. This Word, if you believe in him. See, it's not, oh yeah, I believe Jesus existed. No, do you believe that he was the Word incarnate? Do you believe that he was God in the flesh? Well, I believe Jesus was a real person, but to say he was God is really kind of going, no, it's not going out there. God said it. He said, this is me. Peter said, we've handled him. We've handled God. We've touched him. We talked with him. Well, I've read a book that raised the question that Jesus was married and he didn't really die on the cross. The book's a lie. The book is a fabrication. We have no record at all. If they could have produced Jesus' body, they would have brought him forth. If he had eloped with another woman, they would have found him and tracked him down and brought him, crucified, and put him on the tree and said, this is your God. Even a Roman centurion at the cross looked up at him as Jesus was dying on the cross, and he saw into the supernatural, I am sure of it. He said, surely this must be the Son of God. An unbeliever. Surely this must be the Son of God. So Jesus said, whoever believes in him shall not perish. Now that tells me there are some people perishing. But you don't have to. See, this goes beyond the logos into the rhema. And rhema requires a change of thinking. I'll close with this. John 1, 12 and 13. John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. You know, we talk a lot about rights today. Everybody has a right. Now think about that in this context. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, if you believe in Jesus Christ, because I want to get this through to you. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God, that he was manifest in the flesh, you have the right to be a child of God. It's a birthright. When one of the things that made Jesus, got the Pharisees so upset at Jesus, and it still is true today, Jesus called God Father. Have you ever noticed that? He taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Why did they get upset with Jesus called God Father? Because to call, and it's in the scriptures, because calling God Father, he made himself equal to God. See, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the right to be called a child of God. Now get rhema on that. Get some understanding on that. You have the right. Well, I might be presumptuous. No, it's not presumption. You have the right to be a child of God. God is my Father. Jesus told unborn again disciples to pray our Father, because even Abraham was counted as righteous with God because he believed. There is a new birth that's greater than that. But Jesus is telling the disciples too. And he even told them one time in Psalm, is it 6? I said unto you that you are gods. Does anybody remember Genesis? You were created in the image of God. No, he's not talking about physically. He's talking about in the spirit. You're created in the image of God. Then we died, and our spirit man essentially died. That void that was left in our life, because God had to evacuate, because what has righteousness to do with unrighteousness? He had to leave us. Because we were walking against him. But when you turn around and believe in God, he comes back. Jesus said, we will come and make our abode in you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We'll live in you. We'll camp out. We'll tabernacle with you. And then he goes on to say, we'll never leave you. You might push us out, but we will never leave you. We will never just quit. You have the right to call yourself a child of God. And people will get upset about that even today. Well, that's just going way too far. I'm just being biblical. See, I'm just going according to the logos here. But as I begin to understand that logos and I begin to walk in that logos, God is my Father. See, in Corinthians it says, we cry out by the Holy Ghost, Dada, Daddy God. The word is an Aramaic word. In all this Greek text, it's an Aramaic word. And it literally means like the words that a child first speaks when it sees its dad and can speak for the first time. Da-da, da-da. So this is the Holy Ghost in us crying out to God, Abba, Father. Daddy. Daddy. I'm of you. I'm created again in your image, in your likeness. You have come and made your home in me. I have the right to what God promised me. I have the right to healing because God promised. It was on the cross. I have the right to abundance because God promised me that every curse was taken away from me. I have the right to say I'm a child of God. And all that that entails. So that takes in a lot of territory. Amen. Did you get something out of this? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we'll kind of start around that area next week, and we'll see how far we get. Amen. Let's stand up. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God, for your word, your logos word, God, your ideas that you wrote down, that we could read them and study them and dwell on them, God, that we could meditate on them, God, that you would give us rhema, understanding of what it is that you're trying to get across to us, God. Let us see, God, not with the eyes of natural men, but let us see, Father, with the eyes of the Spirit. Let us see into the glory, into the Holy of Holies, and see what you have apportioned to us, to see what you have provided for us, that we would see your glory poured out in the earth, in us, through us, on us, God, that we would walk in the fullness of being the sons of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.